We're continuing in the Garden of Peace, the Gan Shalom from Rav Shalom Arus. We're in Chapter 11, A Man of Valor. My name is Zvi Kotler. I'm substituting for Rav Reuven Levy. We spoke about yesterday how a man's emunah comes to ignite, or a man's emunah comes to shine upon a woman's soul, where the man is the sun and the woman is the moon, and based on the level of emunah that a man has, also comes the his reflection from that emunah, comes his reflection from his wife. So the wife's simcha is and the wife's bracha and the wife's parnosa that she's a catalyst for, all stems from the emunah that he provides for her. She's like a generator, and he's like the gasoline almost. So yesterday we spoke about how the wife's bracha comes down from the man's emunah, and today Rav Arif is going to discuss, and his holy sefer is going to discuss somebody who says maybe he doesn't want to go along with this shita, with this idea that he has to provide for his wife and take care of his wife, in terms of the fact that the reality is that he signed a kasub, he signed a marriage contract, and he's obligated to take care of her. Maybe someone's going to say, I don't need wealth, meaning he doesn't need his wife's bracha to provide him with wealth. And I don't know too many people who's going to say this, but Baruch Hashem, there are people. And I don't feel like honoring my wife. That I know a lot of people who will say. In that respect, the Gemara says that three things bring a person to poverty. One of which is when a wife curses her husband to his face. You're going to think maybe it's extreme, but Rabba comments that she curses him because he has money, but he's too stingy to buy her jewelry. It's Tractate Shabbat. The Gemara in Tractate Shabbat. In Daf 62. What is the Gemara trying to teach us over here? The Gemara is teaching us that the jewelry, it's not a luxury. It's not a nice thing to buy for your wife. And like I've been saying the last two shiurs, that the reality is that it's halakha, that a man buys his wife nice things before the Yom Tov, and it says this is the wife's simcha. This is how the wife gets the mitzvah of simchas in the raglim, in the festivals. This is how she gets the simcha. Rav Arush says here that it's a needed element for the health of her soul. Without it, she feels a deep distress. Otherwise, it's impossible to understand why a wife would curse her husband simply because he doesn't buy her jewelry. It's a needed element for the health of her soul. The fact that her husband adorns her with things is a needed element for her soul. Why? Because by doing so, the husband is showing two things. One, he's showing the appreciation of his wife, and all the more so the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this wife, and that she's so important to him in order to effect his tshuva, in order that he should come closer to Hashem, that he needs to adorn her. When I look at my wife, Baruch Hashem, after a few years of his bodhidut, I look at her and I say to myself, this is the woman, this is the person, this is the thing, if you will, not to belittle my wife, that is what brings me closer to Hashem. This is the thing that affects my tshuva, brings me my children, affects my tshuva. How valuable is this thing, my wife, that brings me closer to Hashem? How valuable is it? It's priceless. If a person comes to really understand the value of the closeness to Hashem, of doing tshuva in this world, it says that 1 hour of tshuva in this world is more valuable than all of the world to come. The Mishnah Namas. So how valuable is it for you? How valuable is your wife who brings you to the highest levels of tshuva? Give her as many diamonds as you can. And for her, that's her honor. Not that she's being gashmiasnik. I don't know. Not that she's being materialistic. That's the way Hashem created her. Hashem created her in order that this is her honor. The honor, the reality of the honor is that the husband is giving her these things. The husband is adorning her, and therefore she's honored. Not that she's wearing these beautiful things and that she has this money to she's showing off to her friends that she has money to spend. No, she's showing off to her friends that her husband appreciates and values her. And also, she's showing off to her friends that her husband had the emunah in Hashem, that Hashem was going to give him the money in order to buy this thing. And that he has the emunah to spend his money on his wife. It's a big level of emunah to buy, you know, pretty things. Seems like they're not necessary. Seems like they're, you know, frivolous. But the reality is, it's a show of emunah. It's a sign, it's a siman of emunah. And that's what she think gets her honor in. A person might continue to argue with the Gemara and maintain that he doesn't need to buy his wife jewelry if he can't afford to. But like we spoke yesterday, afford to is really a matter of a person's priorities. And like we're saying today, if you understand that your priority is to adorn your wife and that everything comes from your wife, and that the priority is to put the emunah inside of your wife, then you have a new priority. It's going to supersede your priority to buy NBA tickets and an iPod and anything but NBA tickets. NBA tickets are very valuable, I guess. Who do you like, Nick?
No, I'm just
kidding. Oh, okay. But you see that, you know, I was saying in one of the shiurs that how many pairs of black pants and white shirts could a man have? The emphasis has to go on to honoring your wife. You have Rosh Hashanah coming up, you have Yom Kippur coming up, you have Sukkot coming up. It's a good opportunity to say to yourself, I'm going to go maybe above and beyond where I know for Rosh Hashanah. Wow. Not one of the Shlosh Raglim, but
I mean, how do
for us to go away, Yaakov, one second, for us to go away on to Uman and Rosh Hashanah, what an opportunity to give your wife something and to show her, listen, you know, even though I'm spending big money and going away to Rosh Hashanah, you know, cost $1,000 to get there, and you have to pay for food, and you have to pay for lodging, and you know, you're not getting out of there without spending $1,500. Even then, what an opportunity I can go above and beyond and buy my wife something and show her that I have real faith. I'm not doing it for me. I'm not just going to Uman for my own self, that I'm going to you know, go chase after the ruchnius for myself. I'm showing my wife that in the gashmius I can give her and have a muna in the gashmius also to give to adorn to my wife. What are you saying, Akhen?
Well, I'm just wondering how we can bring up the emunah for her and separate it from the materialism, in that we want to beautify her, but we also want to give her the honor and respect. What I normally do is simply take, you know, simply ask her, you know, can we go out shopping?
That's doubly good. One, you're spending your time with her, and also your money. So you're showing her on a lot of levels. The time is infinitely more valuable than the money, I think. If you actually spend the time with your wife, it's tremendously more valuable. I know there's a lot of guys that are very holy guys that every night they spend a half hour with their wife. They're very busy. They're learning all day. They're giving shiurim all day. They're teaching all day. But every single night they have tea or whatever it is with their wife. And they talk to her for a half an hour. And that's what she needs. Every single person, every wife, every woman has a different level of need. The level of need, interestingly enough, revolves around the emunah of the husband. The emunah in all areas of the husband. The greater the emunah in Hashem the husband has, the greater his shmiras ha'ayin is, that he's only looking at holy things, he's not looking at other women. He's only looking at Sipre Torah, he's only looking at Kodesh things, the greater that he's only concentrated on how I'm going to serve Hashem, the less that his wife actually needs. and she gives him tremendous freedom. And then when you spend a little bit of time with her, whether it's shopping or whether it's talking or whether it is, that little bit is enough. Since your amunah is so big, that little bit of gasoline that you're giving her is enough to power her for the whole day until the next day. Whereas somebody who doesn't have amunah, you see now, for somebody who doesn't have amunah, he has to spend more time with his wife and more time with his wife, and he has to placate his wife, and he has to deal with the fights of his wife and this and that. Why? Because he doesn't have real amunah. He's not able to give her the gasoline that she needs. So he has to spend all of this more and more and more and more time and more time and more time. Baruch Hashem, that's his tshuva. That's his tshuva, that he doesn't have a moon. So he has to deal with all of the firestorms at home. A person who has a tremendous level of amunah, his wife gives him complete liberty. His wife gives him permission to go to Uman. His wife buys him sforim in order to enhance his Uman experience. Oh, I bought you this, Sadiq, Rav Nassim, I bought you this. But your new sitter, Rosh Hashanah, that you should daven well. You're going to be back in 5 days. I'm very sad that you're going, but I know that it's only a business trip. You're going there in order to serve Hashem. Rosh Hashanah, I'll see you in 5 days. It's a different level.
There's also another thing. You know, if your wife works, then she has the income.
Right.
You don't have the income, but you're able to go to yeshiva.
Right.
So it's really incumbent upon you to purchase something for your wife, since she's doing all of this for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true. It's another way.
Especially if your income comes from your wife, you might as well spend her money on her. At least,
yeah.
Look, you didn't even make the money yourself. So you might as well spend the money on her, at least. And at least you get the twofold effect of it. You get the effect that, hey, she feels... You know, it's interesting. I will tell you, my wife was the income winner in my house for a long time. She created the income situation. So it was very easy for me to purchase something with that. But other people, maybe it wouldn't be. Maybe even then, they still feel like, oh, I shouldn't be spending the money on this, and I shouldn't be spending the money on that. Interesting. You have to have a moon in everything, especially if your wife is the one who's bringing the income, or she brought the income, if she made the money in the past, let's say, or whatever it is. Of course, you have an obligation. Mom, you have a tremendous obligation to spend it on her and to say thank you all of the time that she's giving you the opportunity to sit in yeshiva. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous thank you have to give her. But Nachman says, don't be petty. He says that a constricted mind, which in money matters means being petty, is the reason people fall into debt. Therefore, one should not be petty with one's wife, and certainly not demand a detailed report for every cent she spends. This won't help his financial situation one bit. You have to give your wife a lot of liberty with the check. People are very scared to do it. Here's the checkbook, here's the money.
Here's the credit card.
People are very scared. They don't know what she's going to do. She can go on a shopping spree and end it all. The shopping spree of all shopping sprees. You never know. But if that's what she needs for her soul, that's what she needs. You know, you might talk to her a little bit that this is where we're holding, this is this and that. But to restrict her and to be petty with her and tell you can't, you're restricting your own... Rav Nachman is saying something amazing. He's saying you're restricting your own chokhmah, your own da'at. Your own, why? Because da'at is really emunah. Da'at is faith. Greater a person's da'at is, the greater their faith is. Da'at and emunah are the same exact thing. What's da'at? Why does Rav Arush have a greater level of da'at than the rest of us? Because he has a greater level of faith than us. Da'at is an interesting thing. Yaakov Hillel, who is a gigantic mukubal and huge in Torah, lives right here in Azebira. He gave a Devar Torah. What time was it called? He gave a Devar Torah on Bina Chachma and Da'at. He gave an explanation, because believe it or not, we daven in a Sephard sitter, we daven on Bina Chachma and Da'at. On an Ashkenazi sitter, they daven on what do they daven in the bracha of Da'at? What did they daven? On wisdom. It's a little bit different. It's not Bina Chachma and Dat, which, by the way, is the acronym of Chabad, Bina Chachma and Dat. So what is it? It's a huge question. What is Bina Chachma and Dat? So Rav Chilel gave one of the most concise, best, because we daven on it, and it's mamish, the most important bracha of all of the brachot. Rav Arush has mentioned it, and Rabbi Yeshua Cohen, who's one of the giants in all of the world in the Torah, in the Torah Shebaal Peh, he mentioned that it's the most important bracha to sit on. So what's Bina Chachma and Dat? Bina, we'll start with Chachma. Chachma,
okay.
Hi. Chachma is one's ability. I was saying, Hanan,
yeah.
What's Bina Chachma and Dat? We daven on it every day in the fourth bracha, the first bracha in the Shemot Asrei that we're not praising Hashem. The fourth bracha, and many times the Gedolim have said, especially Rav Arush and Rabbi Shu Cohen downstairs, have said it's the most important bracha to sit on. Rav Nachman says in all of his forum, the most important thing you can daven on is Dat. So what's Bina Chachma and Dat? Bina is according to Rav Yaakov Hillel from Yerat Zevir in Yerushalayim. Bina is, Chachma is a person's ability to his memory. It's a person's ability to bring in the Torah, to bring it in. So his ability to learn, his ability to store it, to bring it in. And then his ability to recall it. That's his memory tank. That's Chachma. Bina is your ability to understand what it is that you're learning, or the ability to understand what it is that your Chachma brought into your brain. All different levels of Chachma. Do I understand this thing on the surface level? What is the Gemara trying to tell me? What am I Rebbeim trying to tell me? What is the Kodesh Baruch Hu trying to tell me on the surface level? Then there's all the way down through all of the levels of Kabbalah to the deepest understandings of the Torah. That's your Chachma. What level can I understand this on? Every person is a different Chachma. Dat is the ability to apply this to this world. To take everything you've learned, your level of understanding, and apply it in how you act in the world. That's your Dat. So what's the difference between, I was saying, what's the difference between Rav Arush and me? It's a level of... It's a level of Dat. It's Dat. Everything that he's learned, he's able to... He has a deeper level of understanding. First of all, he's able to remember more. He has a bigger Chachma than me. He's able to understand it on a much deeper level. He has a deeper Bina than me. And then his level of application, nobody has. Nobody has, I don't know, there are maybe Sadiqim that I don't know about, but nobody has his level of application, of Dat. When he knows that Shmir Sha'ayin is the most important thing, that's it. He doesn't look at anything. He doesn't even look at people when he's giving a Devar Torah, if you notice. He's connected to Hashem, because really this world is Olam HaSheker. So even when you connect to people, you're still connected to part of the Olam HaSheker, and he only wants to be connected to Hashem. When he's in Amuna, he's learned about the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of every single thing, who has greater Amuna than Rav Arush. His level of Dat, his application here in this world, is higher than everybody else. That's the difference between us and the huge tzaddiki. That's the boy of Nachman, who says that anybody can be a tzaddik like himself, says you need to daven on Dat. You need to daven on Dat. You need to daven on being in Chachma in order to get a higher level of Dat.
Cool.
Concludes today.
This concludes the session of
the Garden of Peace, chapter 11. We'll be continuing tomorrow. No. That's right, Shem.